Occasionally, an event occurs of such significance that it forever changes the way you perceive life itself, as though a veil has been lifted and the clarity and purpose of your life become obvious. In November of 1993, such an event occurred for my family and I. I was one of the Native American children adopted at birth and removed from the reservation system. As fate would have it, I was raised by a wonderful family and grew up in Southwest Minnesota. I lost both adoptive parents in 1987. It was then that my wife, Kathy, discovered my adoption papers that had been hidden for years. On Thanksgiving Day, 1993, I was reunited with my biological Lakota family. Neither of us had known the other had existed all those years. So began our incredible journey back into Native America. This is our story.
We're standing atop the powwow grounds in Lower Brule, South Dakota. When we first returned home in 1993, we were brought and invited to the first annual powwow, our first powwow, in the summer of 1994. It was a day much like this, when we had our first lesson and first began to learn about the social event, the gathering that's known as the powwow.
I attended my first powwow the summer of 1994. The setting was beautiful. The powwow grounds of the Lower Brule Sioux Reservation, our new home. For someone who had grown up in mainstream America, this event was full of beauty and culture. Yet at the heart of the gathering, there was something deeper, something just out of reach of my limited vocabulary. In trying to describe the powwow to friends and family, I found myself coming up short in describing what I was feeling inside. As the years would go by, I would find that it was music itself, without lyrics, that would best communicate the powerful spiritual feelings that overwhelmed us that summer. To this day, I can find no equal to the powwow in mainstream America. It was part community festival, family reunion, county fair, and church social, all rolled up into one event. It brought out the entire community, including children, parents, grandparents, and elders. Children and elders danced freely and proud for the better share of 3 days and three nights. The event was open to the public, but yet there was only a handful of spectators from the outside world. It soon became a goal of mine to bring the powwow off the reservation in an effort to share this beautiful cultural event with the world.
The flag song is paying respects to the flag itself.
Every powwow begins with a grand entry, when all dancers are seen for the first time. The thing that really struck me that afternoon was the role of the flags. Still early in my assimilation process, I was curious about the order in which the flags entered the powwow arbor. The American flag stood tall in the center of the arbor, even before the procession started. The eagle feather staff carried in by the veterans was first, then followed by the state flag and finally the tribal flag. I asked one of the elders about this, and his response caught me off guard. He said, "Even though we, meaning Native America, are now the smallest minority in this great country, we still have, per capita, the highest number of men and women that enter the armed services every year." His words hit me hard. That afternoon, I began to reevaluate all that I had been taught as a young boy and learning about the American Indian. Before the year was done, I had gone through a total paradigm shift. My perception of Native America had now shifted 180 degrees from what I was taught as a young boy in the mainstream.
I'm Sergeant Joseph Duchesneau. I'm a veteran with this veteran here. We do the grand entries for the powwow every year, and I still serve with the South Dakota National Guard, and so I kind of represent Native American veterans. I also represent the state of South Dakota when I'm doing this.
There is a feeling one gets when dancing, when your heart and the drum beat are the same. You are connected to the earth. You are connected to all things. The powwow is a circle of celebration, a way to welcome and honor others, a time to reflect and bond as a family, community, and tribe. All are welcome.
They say in the long ago time that the stories were told through our dances. When the warriors came back from battle, they would tell the story through their dances. They say when a dancer would look to the ground, they say maybe he's looking for the tracks of the enemy or for the tracks of the buffalo. Or they say he looked to the sky for the eagle. And then powwow changed. It became intertribal and dancers from all nations started dancing all these different style of dances that are done in the modern day. Powwow is done in celebration of life, celebration of this Mother Earth that we walk upon.
Native Americans, and there are different feelings for you, different for me from Europe. When I was a girl, I had an older brother, and parents bought him books about Indians too. Romanticism, spirituality, rave of Native Americans was for me very interesting. And for me, it was feeling about something great, something unknown for me.
Hi, my name is Miles Luck. I'm Canadian from Toronto, Ontario. Coming over this ridge here, I realize this beautiful view here. I can't believe it. But then I also noticed some festival going on down there, some Indian tents and that stuff. And I thought, and I just checked with some of the locals here, and they told me it's an Indian powwow going on. I've seen them on TV, but I've never been to one myself personally. So with the advice of some of the people here, I'm going to go down and check it out myself.
There's a feeling one gets when dancing, when your heart and the drum beat are the same. You are connected to the earth. You are connected to all things. The powwow is a circle of celebration, a way to welcome and honor others, a time to reflect and bond as a family, community, and tribe. All are welcome.